Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this non-stop flight-free podcast service. Our flight time will be roughly 20 minutes. Please make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in their full upright position and that your seat belt is correctly fastened. But no need to set your mobile devices to airplane mode, that can stay off. We've been cleared to take off, so sit back, relax, and enjoy this flight-free podcast.
Hello listeners, and thanks for downloading the Flight Free podcast. Each month you can hear interviews on all aspects of aviation, from science and travel to politics and campaigning. You can access our full podcast series on our website, flightfree.co.uk/podcast. Our January episode is all about New Year's resolutions, so our conversation is with Maya Rosén, whose New Year's resolution 2 years ago inspired her to start the Flight Free campaign in Sweden, which asked 100,000 Swedes to take a year off flying, and led to the creation of Flight Free campaigns here in the UK and beyond. Maya wrote a blog for us explaining how her New Year's resolution to dare to be socially inconvenient and talk about flying and the climate crisis was the best resolution she ever made and the only one she's ever kept. You can find the blog on our website under the Be Inspired tab. Scroll down nearly to the bottom of the page. We've worked closely with Maya throughout the past year and we're always so inspired to speak to her and hear how the whole thing started.
I personally gave up flying about 11 years ago now, and I've been wondering for many years why so many people keep flying, even though we're in a climate emergency. But I've usually ended up not saying anything when people speak about their flights, and I've just regretted afterwards that I didn't say anything. So I gave myself a New Year's resolution to be a bit brave and start asking people questions. And when I started doing that, I realized that most people haven't even reflected over the climate impact from flying. And I also realized that it was actually possible to talk about this. One of my first conversations was with my closest neighbor, and I really, really like him, and I really like his wife. And I've been wondering, because they are such nice people, why do they keep flying? And I've not said anything to them before, but this time my neighbor came knocking on my door and asked me if I could look after his cat, because they were flying to Vietnam. And I remember I felt so awkward. So I just told him that I promised myself to ask people about this. So aren't you worried about the climate crisis? And are you aware of how big your emissions are? And when I noticed that, he didn't get offended. And we had like a really good discussion, even if he didn't at that point give up flying immediately, he still went to Vietnam. I realized after that it really made him think. And by noticing this, and I had a few other similar conversations, I realized that, wow, I can actually make a difference by talking to people. And that's the most important lesson I've learned, because since then I've pretty much not spoken about anything except the climate crisis and flying. And there are so many people who say that they feel really inspired from this and that it's really making them actually change their behavior. And I've asked them, do you wish I didn't say anything? And they're like, no, I'm so grateful you did, and I just wish I had realized this sooner. So I think that's why I think this is really the best New Year's resolution I've ever made.
What a fantastic New Year's resolution, and what great results. But it can be so hard to talk to people. We've been campaigning on this issue for a year now, and we found that it's much easier to speak to people we don't know than it is to talk to our friends, especially our friends who fly a lot. We asked Maya if she'd had the same experience.
I think, well, now all my friends, they know what I'm doing for a living, so it's much easier to talk about this, because I think now they know that it's not just them I'm questioning. They know that I'm questioning all flights, and they know the reason I'm doing it is because I just want us all to do everything we can to solve the climate crisis. So I feel that people don't get offended when they know it's not the campaign is not directed to them specifically. But I do still think that it's much easier to speak to strangers than to people who are close to me. I think when there are no feelings involved, it's much, much easier. So I would really recommend people to be a bit brave and try to go out and speak to people who they don't know about this. And that can be pretty awkward unless you bring our flyers, because then if you go out and maybe a group of people go out together and speak to people, you can tell that you're representing an organization. We go to town and go to a park or somewhere central where a lot of people are passing by. Sometimes we go to train stations or stand outside universities. And I've been really surprised to see that people are actually willing to stop and talk to us. Most people do. And I think because when they realize that we're not asking them to donate money or anything, that we're actually just wondering, we usually start by asking them, are you worried about the climate crisis, or how do you feel about the climate crisis? And I can tell that a lot of people feel relieved to talk about this, because a lot of people have these concerns. But in your everyday life, it's not really the norm to talk about the climate crisis. So I think a lot of people actually feel a need to talk about this. For example, I met some young students. They were a group of 5 people, and I asked if they would give up flying for a year. And it turned out that some of them maybe would, but others were like, no, why should I do that? And then I asked, so do you usually talk about the climate crisis with each other? And they were like, no, never. And then one of them said, well, I actually wish we kind of did. So I think that was nice.
So we can see that having these conversations is really important, but it tends not to happen, probably because you don't want to be that person who just goes on about the climate crisis all the time. But not talking about it seems to be how we've got into this climate mess. If it's not on most people's radars, it's certainly not going to be on the political radar, even though we've known about this for decades. There's a blog about this on our website called We Need to Talk About the Climate Crisis, which you can find at flightfree.co.uk/blog, and it's in the climate category. It's written by one of our activists, Maria, who says this. Why are we so reluctant to face up to the climate crisis? My best guess is that we are not being made to confront the reality of our situation on an everyday basis. In the UK, we have a few exceptionally hot days a year, a bit of flooding, and some failed cauliflower harvest to deal with. We can even joke about how there won't be enough sprouts for Christmas. But saying something takes guts, and it takes mental strength because it isolates you. But we must all talk to our family and friends about this, all of the time, at every opportunity. We must fill others' news feeds on social media with environmental information. In short, we must make sure that no one is allowed to forget that this crisis is happening and that we need to take urgent action. We must be brave enough to isolate ourselves, because the more of us who do that, and the more frequently we do it, the more quickly adapting our lifestyles to suit the planet will become the new normal, and those who feel isolated will be those who aren't willing to change.
If we are to solve the climate crisis, more people need to become aware of how serious the situation is. And if you look at everyone around you and they don't talk about this and they don't seem concerned, I think it's difficult to get just how urgent this is. I sometimes see experts in the media and they say, oh, we all know what's going on, but we don't do anything anyway. And I really don't think that's true. There are still many people who are like, no, I don't really ever think about the climate crisis, or I don't know much about it, so I'm not feeling concerned. So I definitely think that there is so much potential out there, because I know that so many more people would care if they understood what is at stake. Many of the people who's actually been active running our campaign, they have been frequent flyers previously, and they were flying just last year, and they've said, wow, I wasn't aware of this. And now when I am, I just want everyone else to understand this as well.
Maya has written a guide to help others talk about this. It's called We Need to Talk About Aviation, and you can find it at weneedtotalkaboutaviation.org.
Because I've written a guide in that, I've sort of written my best advice for how we can talk about this, and also responses to most common counterarguments. And the best thing to me is when somebody writes to me saying, I've read the guide that you've written. And when they say they've actually used it, and that they have spoken to people, and that they say they've had a good conversation, and they noticed that the person they spoke to actually started thinking about this, that really makes me so happy.
Our campaign here in the UK is quite reliant on social media, which can be a really good way to spread the message. But there's a risk you get trapped in the social media bubble, where you end up only talking to people who already agree with you. Still, sharing the pledge on Facebook is good, because lots of your friends would see it, even those who might not be aware of the climate impact of flights. There's loads of information on our Facebook page if you search Flight Free UK, including testimonials from some of the people who've pledged.
Through social media, we really try to encourage everyone to talk about this. If we can sort of encourage them to be brave, then I think this could spread quite quickly and that a change could happen fast. We're trying to encourage everyone, for example, to write a story about why they have chosen to give up flying or why they've chosen to take a flight free year and share in their social media so that it will reach people that otherwise wouldn't have heard about this. The best thing is when people write, I used to be like you, I used to love traveling, and then something happened that made me rethink this, and now I've tried it and I realized that, oh, it actually feels really good.
We've also found that the testimonials are a great way to share the campaign. Our testimonials are photos of people with the pledge card and a sentence or two about why they've signed. It makes it so much more personal and powerful when you can see the people who are taking part, because it's not just about numbers, it's about people, and it shows why they care about this. A large part of the campaign is to create a social shift, a mindset shift. So asking people to give up something for a year is a good way to inspire them to try something without saying you can never fly again. But Maya has found the impact has gone beyond just that year.
So many people think of giving up flying as a huge sacrifice before they make the decision. But once the decision is made, it's like they change their perspective completely, like straight away, and instead they focus on how good it is for the climate that they don't do it, and also like everything they still can do. So everyone I know who's made this decision, they are so happy about it and think that it's actually one of the best decisions they made. I really think it's a good way to encourage people to just try for 1 year, because I started this campaign here last year, and there are many people who had their first flight free year last year, and out of everyone I've spoken to, it's no longer about having a flight-free year. They're like, no way, I'm flying again until we solve the climate crisis. So it's a good way to get people thinking in another way about this.
Now, for many people, 2019 was the year we woke up to the climate crisis. So we asked Maya if she thought there was a difference between people's reactions this year and when she started the campaign.
If I compare this year to last year, there's a huge difference, because last year, even if I spoke to people who were really concerned about the climate or were maybe even working with the climate issue, they were focusing on political solutions. But now it's been such a huge change, because when you speak to people in the streets, like, it's so many more who think of this as a good idea, and they have heard about the climate impact from flying, and they say that they have been considering to fly less.
We've found the same here in the UK, that while some of the focus is on what government and industry need to do, many people recognise that taking personal action is just as important. And if we reach our goal of 100,000, we send a stronger signal to government and industry that they also need to take the necessary measures. In Sweden, the pledge has reached the tens of thousands in both of the years it's been running. Here in the UK, we're around the 5,000 mark, so some people say then it hasn't been a success. Well, we're still collecting pledges, and will do for the whole of 2020, so we still have time to reach our target. But there are many other ways in which it's been a success. We have contributed so much to the conversation. We're frequently in the media and on the radio, talking about this issue and raising awareness. And we know that for everyone who signs, there will be many others who will fly less as a result. I asked Maya the same question about whether she sees the campaign as a success.
Oh yes, definitely. I'm so pleased with it. It's interesting because it has not been at all as I imagined it would be. Like, I thought it would be much easier to collect pledges than it has been. But I had never, ever in my sort of wildest imagination would have thought that the campaign that I started here would sort of spread internationally. And we've reached out with our message to so many people all over the world. I think I've been contacted by media from around 20 different countries, and in that way, I feel so pleased that I've been able to reach out to millions of people, and going from not even being brave enough to speak to my closest neighbor just a couple of years ago, so I definitely think that this is a success. But of course, I still wish that I would so much want to reach the goal of 100,000 pledges, because I do think that some people would think that it's not successful just because we haven't reached the goal. But I know that even if people don't make the pledge, they still fly less just knowing about the existence of this campaign.
We totally agree, and it goes back to that great resolution. Just one person taking action can make so much difference. It's very easy to feel that you as an individual can't do anything and not to try. But Maya has shown that what seemed like a tiny decision simply to start talking about this has turned into a global campaign. Now, we're often asked why flying is even that much of a big deal. So we asked Maya, why are we specifically talking about flights?
Well, sometimes people ask me, like, why do you focus on flying when there are so many other things that we should do? And I really think that this issue is so important because not flying is one of the most important things you can do as an individual to reduce your own emissions. But it's also such a good way to get more people engaged in the climate issue. I think it's such a good way to get more people understanding that it really is a climate crisis and we can't keep living the way we do. And when you see that other people not only talk about what we should do, but actually sort of show with their action what needs to be done, it's a good way to get more people involved. And then it's no longer about giving up flying. If you accept, oh, I can't keep flying, you also try to reduce your emissions in all other ways.
And that's the thing. There are many things we can do to reduce our emissions, but flying is the big one. And if we accept that, everything else follows more easily. But behaviour change campaigning is really hard because we can feel totally overwhelmed with the scale of the task. And when we feel like we're the only ones who care, it's easy to give up. But for Maya, the opposite has been true. The campaign has given her a sense of purpose and has shown her that she's not alone.
Well, I used to be really concerned about the climate crisis, and it used to be something that worried me, but I was trying not to think about it, and I was trying to focus on other things. But it was sort of always a bit there and would make me really worried or sad at times. But now, when I feel that I'm actually doing everything in my power to solve this, I find my life so much easier and so much happier. I think what made me not be able to relax before was that I was knowing deep inside that I could do more and I didn't. And I think that was kind of stressful. But now when I'm doing everything I can, it's such a relief, and it's such a relief to sort of be true to myself. But I also think during this year, I've gotten to know so many other people who feel the same. And we're striving for the same goal. So I don't feel lonely anymore. Before, I used to feel like I was the only one having these concerns. But now I've met so many inspiring people who are also spending their lives fighting to solve the climate crisis.
Well, we found Maya to be one of those inspiring people. And we're grateful to her for being brave and getting this issue out there. Our final question to Maya was, what are your top tips for talking to people about the climate crisis?
This should be obvious, but it's also the part that most people struggle with, and it is to just be nice. Many people who say to me that I can't talk about the climate crisis because I get so frustrated, so I get angry when people don't listen to what I'm saying. And I think that's the worst thing you can do, because if you sort of get frustrated, people shut off and you won't be able to reach them with your message. So I think that is really important, and also to be understanding that they don't think the way you do. And show them that you don't think that they are selfish or that they don't care, but to sort of show them that it's completely normal not to do everything to solve the climate crisis, because I think we are so strongly affected of the people around us. So if everyone you know keep living their lives the way they've used to, it's difficult to sort of get what we actually need to do. So if you show them that you think it's understandable that they still haven't given up flying, but you think that they would, if they knew, I think that's good. And also to ask questions and also listen to what they're saying. I've been surprised to understand how little many people has thought about this and how little they know about the climate crisis. So when people say they don't want to give up flying, I don't think it's because they don't care. They just don't understand how important it is to do it. Of course, we want political solutions, but I also think that if we are to solve the climate crisis, it's not enough to sort of force people to save the climate. We have to get more people to want to do it and to understand why it's important. And I don't think it's possible to convince everyone, but I think there are so many people out there who would really do everything in their power to solve the climate crisis if they understood that it's not something that will sort of happen to someone else in a distant future. It will happen to us and to our children and to people who are close to us. And I really, really think that so many more people would fight for the climate if they understood this.
So the message is, get out there and talk to people and try and have those climate conversations. You might be surprised at the responses you receive. And that's the end of this month's episode. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Maya for speaking to us. We hope you enjoyed hearing what she had to say and are inspired to make a New Year's resolution. Could you dare to be socially inconvenient and start having climate conversations? Could your resolution be to take the Flight Free 2020 pledge? You can find out more at our website, flightfree.co.uk, and that's where you'll find Maya's blog post, The Best New Year's Resolution Ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, the seatbelt sign indicates we're coming to the end of our journey. Don't forget to take your duty-free items with you. We have some excellent tweets and inspiring Instagram posts at FlightFree2020. Or how about our Facebook page, FlightFree UK? And our website is always available, www.flightfree.co.uk. We've been clear to land, so on behalf of the Flight Free Podcast Service, I'd like to thank you for joining us, and we look forward to welcoming you on board again next month.